sun comes back and the first quail calls. Follow the drinking gourd.
Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan, a one-hour abbreviated show, but a long-form interview with the man you're hearing right there singing. Chris Filillo, how are you? And you're a brave man to come in on a night like this. I did offer you a phone, but you said, no, I'd like to come in. Chris, your new CD is titled Oh Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement, and it is a lovely, lovely collection of 11 tunes, and it occurs to me on the eve of Martin Luther King Day, that this is, much of the music on the CD is timeless, but I would argue, and you have to agree, that given the state of affairs, certainly in this city and in this country, it is more timely than ever.
Absolutely. And to be perfectly honest, Rick, one of the reasons I began this project was because I felt that very thing. This was a tremendous struggle. It was a tremendous achievement for our nation to accomplish, movement forward in desegregation and equality. And it's a struggle that continues today. And it really needs to be part of the conversation.
No question. It has often occurred to me, Martin Luther King was assassinated in 1968. And I often think, given all that he accomplished and the groundwork he set, I often think how unbelievably sad and disappointed he might be were he somehow able to come back to life and see this country today.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's hard to put into words how disappointed I am when I look around and see the things that are going on that we thought we'd already moved past.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm not just talking about, recent killings and recent protests about those killings. I'm talking about the continuing kind of inequities that exist in this country. What was the seed of this CD? I mean, you were a folk singer. Your last CD that I remember was the music, kind of the music of Abraham Lincoln. Not
sure
that Lincoln was a great singer, but the music. You do tend to think in themes for CDs, which is a rare and I think wonderful kind of profession.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with my background. I come from a background of archaeology and history. I actually have done some folklore work, and I believe that the music is a powerful tool. And I mean, just look at the accomplishments the music of the civil rights gained. It was an incredibly powerful tool through that movement, and I believe it can still be a powerful way to explore a subject. It can put you into a sense of being there like nothing else can.
I'm going to read. You're going to hear a lot of this music today, ladies and gentlemen, but I want to read the sort of Chris's own liner notes to this wonderful CD, which is called Oh Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. Chris Filillo writes, the story of the civil rights movement is one of the great stories of heroism and bravery in our nation's search for freedom and one of the country's proudest achievements. The music was there every step of the way. When blacks in Montgomery, Alabama, chose to walk rather than ride segregated city buses in 1955, they sang. In 1960, when black students sat in and were beaten at segregated lunch counters across the South, they sang. And when the buses carrying the Freedom Riders were stopped and burned, when the riders were pushed to the ground and beaten, they sang. These are just a few of the countless songs that made up the soundtrack of the Freedom Song Movement. For those that put their lives on the line in the name of freedom for all, thank you for your service. That's a beautiful. I've read a lot of liner notes in my life. And that is
I imagine. Yeah.
And that it moves me in so many ways. It also addresses the aspect of song being salvation, song being a kind of, if not a armor, at least a kind of safety net for people.
Very much so. I mean, you see this time and time again. And I found some wonderful primary source material to draw on. And you would hear accounts of civil rights workers talking about how the songs would inspire them. It would create solidarity in times of trouble and in the ever-present threat of danger and violence.
Yeah.
It was a peaceful response to an unreasonable act.
Mm.
And I love it when artists return art to violence. I mean, that is, to me, an exquisite, eloquent way to respond to a situation.
All right, I want to play, and again, there are 11 cuts on this CD. I want to play Wade in the Water, if you will give a little context to this song.
Sure. Wade in the Water is a very historic song. It goes back to the slave era. Many historians claim that Harriet Tubman sang the song as a way to alert slaves in the region that she was there to help them escape.
Mm.
Others claim that she taught them this song as a way to educate them to travel through waterways to avoid, you know, the
footprints
slave catchers.
Footprints and
the dogs couldn't follow the scent and such.
Ugh.
That's largely anecdotal. We don't know how accurate it is.
I don't care. It's a great story.
But it is a great story, and certainly there's an essence of truth to that. It becomes very important in the civil rights movement, and in this particular show, I tie it to an event in 1964 at St. Augustine Beach, where they're conducting wade-ins. And Dorothy Cotton, who's from the Southern Christian Leadership Council, talks about how she was at one of these demonstrations and brought a group of girls there, and that they were attacked and beaten.
Mm.
And that after they left, they sang that song and decided they were going to come back again.
Oh, how fabulous. That's one of the great things about Chris's CD. The other great thing about him is the way he plays and the way he sings. So, Aubrey Mumpower, if we could listen to Wade in the Water. entertaining and enlightening and informative at the same time. That's Chris Villola from his new CD, O Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. You will hear more from him singing and talking in a couple minutes. Welcome back. Chris Villola's new CD is a brilliant one. It's called O Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. You heard one song, you will hear more. It's 11 tracks of songs that are germane to the fight for civil rights. Some of these songs you certainly know. Wade in the Water, you probably know. We just played that. Chris, in putting together this CD, you and I are roughly the same age. I'm a little older than you are. You were born in Hammond.
Yes.
You spent most of your life living in Illinois. You moved around a lot because your dad was a civil engineer.
Mm-hmm.
How did this, you're a young teenager. During the civil rights movement.
Sure.
Tell me what you knew of it. What do you remember? It must have been mostly, you know, images on TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the first recollections that I recall, I do remember it was the music. I remember, you know, there was the time when folk music was becoming the big popular
music. No question.
And this is about the time the civil rights movement is really at its strongest, and some of those songs begin to come into popular music. The one we opened the show with, Follow the Drinking Gourd.
Yep.
I distinctly remember seeing this song on some TV show, and that was the first time I became really aware of the civil rights movement.
Yeah.
And then, like many other people, I grew up seeing it unfold on television and simply not being able to understand how people could treat one another that way.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense.
I think it had a very, very profound effect. I like to think it's more profound than one with everybody, but a very profound effect on our generation.
Oh, absolutely.
More so than the generation, Lyndon Johnson, the people who really did, mm-hmm. you know, do the nuts and bolts of it, but a
sure.
real profound, it's obviously stuck with you for keeps.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we grew up in an era when we believed in the American dream, and many of us actually got to live it.
Yeah.
But to see on TV that so many in our country weren't, and then to watch the violence against these peaceful demonstrators was
the water hoses, and I remember the images, too, and the German Shepherd,
yeah.
breed that I love, attacking these people, and then, you know, the killings of,
You
know, certainly Emmett Till was way before that, but it sort of ignited the whole civil rights movement.
Sure.
Murder, beating death of Chicago and Emmett Till in 1955.
And all of that just was so in the face of what we thought the world was all about, or what we had been told America was all about.
Well, you've been lucky, I think, to stay with it as a folk singer. And you also are, you know, like our mutual friend Bucky Hulker.
Yeah.
It's not just, hey, this is a fun song. You really do investigate and explore the background of these songs, and in that essence makes them much more richer for you and, I think, the listener.
Absolutely. I really love to look at the music in its entirety, not just the notes and the rhythm, the story behind the song, how the song came to be. Most of these songs that were the freedom songs of the movement, they go back generations and generations, and they evolve primarily out of gospel music to labor music in the 20s and the
30s. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then they evolve again into civil rights songs.
Now, you are in the process. I mean, this is becoming, and I think this is a wonderful idea, a kind of one-man show.
Oh, yeah.
Is it not? You've done this in performance
already.
Yes,
I have.
The official release of the CD, ladies and gentlemen, is tomorrow.
Yes.
This is the world premiere of the CD on this show. But you've done it kind of in a sort of early stage.
Yeah, and the idea is to not just stand there and do a concert of music.
Right.
But it's a concert with content. And this is much along the lines of what I did with the Lincoln music.
Yeah.
I was trying to create almost a theatrical piece with it and present it in context of how this music was used, some of the stories about specific times when these songs were sung, how it affected the movement. It just gives it a greater depth of understanding. And again, I think this is a conversation we still need to be having.
We need to look at
where we have come, how far we came, and the sacrifices that thousands and thousands of people made to get that far. And not forget that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. You've done it in a few places. What's been the reaction?
The reaction has been universally positive.
You've done it in some inner city libraries
I did
in
it
Chicago.
In, yeah, and I got to do it in the town of Cicero for their 50th anniversary of the March on Cicero.
Wow.
That was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And it, you know, the material can be pretty
serious.
It
was not an area at the time that treated Dr. King with what you might call respect either.
No. But I've just been very surprised that as serious as the material is, and some of the stories I tell, you know, touch on some of the brutality in first-person accounts, the response has been overwhelmingly positive.
You know, I got to think, and tell me if I'm wrong, I've got to think that there are people our age and older who get very wistful and sort of even sad about remembering many of those people of a certain age were part of some of these marches and protests. But I also have to think that some of their kids and especially their grandchildren may not be anywhere near as aware of this
Absolutely.
As they should be.
I performed this show down in Mount Vernon in southern Illinois. And, you know, when you do a concert and a program, people always come up afterwards and want to talk to you. And I love that. And I always try to talk as long as I can. And one woman was talking with me until she was the last person in the room and there was no one else there. And at that point, she said, I didn't want to say anything before, but I was a freedom rider.
Wow.
And I don't tell people around here that. Because many of them are still really not comfortable with that kind of a position or social activist. And it just amazed me.
Do you think that, and I'm going to save this song till after the break and play a couple more songs. I want to continue this. Do you think that there is something that people of a certain age, you know what it probably is? It's because it didn't turn out to be a perfect world. And so that people, it's hard to tell. Yes, I used to march. I used to get, you know, bitten by dogs and I used to get sprayed with fire hoses. And, you know, a grandkid would go, well, what for? And they'd say, well, so we could. And then you're sort
sure.
of left
well,
hanging.
And there's a real disconnect between the younger generations of today who weren't there, who didn't see it.
Who haven't been taught it, certainly in public schools.
Certainly.
There is supposed to be.
Yeah, and the people, the ones that I get the strongest reaction from are the people that are of our age, that saw this happen, that remember the movement.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a surprising number of them were involved in the movement. I do think it has to be shared with the younger generation so that they can appreciate what it took to get where we are. And Lord knows it's not a perfect world. There's so much work that needs to be done.
Well, I'm going to tell a quick story before we take a break, and you will hear more from Chris Villalillo talking and singing after the news. But it always occurs to me that people, you know, we have a Martin Luther King Jr. drive in this town, and nobody seems to know or remember how that happened. It happened a few weeks before the Democratic Convention in 1968, when Mayor Daley proposed to the city. Do you not know this?
No.
Ugh.
I saw your
proposed to the city council that they change the name of a Chicago street in honor of, I'm putting that in air quotes here, the late Dr. Martin Luther King. The real reason they wanted to do it was they were fearful that it was the black community that was going to cause trouble at the Democratic Convention. Mm-hmm. So in the city council, some aldermen said, well, why are you just making it this part of, why are you changing the name of South Parkway? Why don't we make it a street that goes all across the city? Western Avenue, Halsted, or at least is longer.
Yeah.
They didn't do that because Daley was more than aware if they put up these street signs in the white neighborhoods of Chicago, they would be defaced or torn down.
Yeah.
That's why Martin Luther King Jr. Drive runs through a section of the South Side, predominantly black area of the city of Chicago. Welcome back to After Hours with me, Rick Kogan, and this new kind of in-depth interview format I'm doing, and it's working out, to my mind, great. Let me know, rkogan@tribune.com, what do you think? I think it's so much more in-depth and interesting. You don't really know where it's going to go. It's going in interesting places with my guest, Chris Villalillo. Who is, you can go to chrisvillillo.com, which will send you to another website, which is Gin Ridge.
Yes.
RecordLabel.com.
Which is actually the name of my record label.
Yes. The record is, I'm so glad you still call them records. It's really, yes. It's a CD, actually, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. I want to play another, and I want to play in the last segment, perhaps, arguably, the most famous song of the Civil Rights Movement. But give me a little background, and the listeners a little background, on This Little Light of Mine.
Well, This Little Light of Mine is a song that everyone knows.
Yeah.
It's taught in Sunday schools as a gospel song. It was written in the early 1900s, I think about 1906. And it becomes very popular as a song in the civil rights movement. A woman named Fannie Lou Hamer sings this song outside of the 1964 Democratic Convention.
Where was that, in Miami?
I think it was in New York, although I'm not exactly sure. But she is a legally elected delegate, but they don't seat her because she's black and she's a woman.
Come on.
So she stands outside and she starts singing these songs.
Ugh.
And, you know, it's a song that everyone knows, and yet when you get a group of people singing this together, it takes on this whole new dimension.
Well, now the way you put it in context, it takes on a whole new dimension, too. Aubrey Mumpower, if I could trouble you to entertain and enlighten the listeners with This Little Light of Mine.
Shine, oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now I got the light of freedom, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, I got the light of freedom, I'm gonna let it shine. I got the light of freedom, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now way down there in Birmingham, I'm gonna let it shine. Ooh, way down there in Birmingham, I'm gonna let it shine. Way down there in Birmingham, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine, ooh, way down in that jailhouse, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, way down in that jailhouse, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Now this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Ooh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Fabulous version of that, Chris Filolo. You and who collaborated with you on this CD?
A gentleman named Rocky Moffat.
Okay.
And you might remember the band Champagne from the 1980s.
Oh, yeah,
well,
yeah.
He was the percussionist in that band.
Sure.
And a great songwriter and a great vocalist. And he and I have performed together quite often. And whenever I can afford to bring him in, I do.
Well, you're a folk singer. That can't be that often.
Yes, you know.
The thing, Chris, you know, in just in that song, you said it was sung outside the National Democratic Convention in 1964 by a woman named Fannie Lou Hamer, who was not allowed in. She was a delegate, but she was black, and they wouldn't let her in. What occurs to me about that song, and a lot of the songs on your CD, O Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement, are these songs are not angry songs.
No.
In many, but they're empowering.
Yes.
And that song certainly is uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard it sung all over the place, haven't you?
Absolutely. And recently, a couple of months ago, after one of these shootings out west, there was a news story about, you know, folks just spontaneously gathering to express their sadness and shock,
horror, yeah,
and horror, and they're standing, a group of several hundred with candles in their hands, singing this song.
Wow!
And I, you know, that was the point where I was just really amazed that so much of the material is still fresh, and you know, these songs are timeless.
Yeah, I mean, the whole notion of, you know, the civil rights movement was the tag for the African Americans trying to get their a fair shake.
Yeah.
But civil rights extends all over the place. I mean,
absolutely.
It's about everybody.
Yes. I mean, you know, everyone deserves equal rights,
yeah.
Whether you're black, whether you're a woman, whether you're a Muslim. I mean, it's irrelevant. If I get a certain number of rights, you should have them. Everyone should have them. This should not even be a question in our society.
Yeah. What do you think? Are you hopeful? I see a sort of new activism on the horizon,
yes,
of people not taking it. You know, it's like the famous line from Network. I'm not going to take it anymore. I see that. It's, if not a rebelliousness, at least a louder voice.
Absolutely. And I've been waiting to see this for a long time. Because frankly, so much has gone on that I would have expected to have had that reaction sooner. But I think it is long overdue. And I love seeing an activism coming back again. I love seeing people talking about social justice issues again, because these are universal themes. And Lord knows we need these things.
Yeah.
And really, one of the reasons I chose to do this project was because I thought that was my two cents that I could put in.
Sure.
You know, and this is not a project where I'm going to make a lot of money.
No, of course not.
But, folk singers, you don't make money. You can make hundreds of dollars a year as a folk singer.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think it's important to do what you can do. I think you have to, at some point, simply say, no, that's not right.
Yeah. To and lend your voice to the other voices, and one voice comes in and another voice comes in, and there is, frankly, as far as I can see, no Martin Luther King out there, but there may be.
Yeah.
We just haven't seen him yet.
But we are all Martin Luther King. It's up
point.
To every single one of us to say when things are wrong. And there's been this, you know, after 9/11, everyone became so afraid to say anything that wasn't, you know, supportive of the way things were supposed to be. And at some point, you got to sit up and just say, no, those facts aren't right. You know, we've really got to look at these things correctly. And you can't just go out and say anything that you want. I hear the things that
Donald
are coming.
Trump.
Yeah. I hear the words coming out of politicians today. And that's exactly what
There was just an hour and a half Democratic debate was on NBC, and I was listening to them chit-chat and heard nothing.
Yeah.
And a lot of it plays on our fears, too, and that's why we can become scared and complacent, because we're going to raise taxes, we're going to do this, you're going to cut Social Security, you're going to do this, and we get scared, and we don't reach out. Let's take another little break of a couple minutes, and in the last segment of this hour, a special edition of After Hours with me, Rick Kogan, you will hear Chris Vellillo from his new CD, O Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement, sing perhaps, arguably, the most famous civil rights song. And you will also hear one of the joys. Chris and I are not the biggest fans of the internet because we don't understand a lot of the internet. But one of the great joys is the ability to find things. You will hear Dr. King speaking. No, not that speech. You can easily find the I Have a Dream speech. This is something different, so please stay tuned. Welcome back. We have a few more minutes with Chris Villillo. We're talking about the Civil Rights Movement. We're talking about his new CD, Oh Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement. We're talking about the need for social justice in the country. We're talking right now about his show. He will be at the Wheeling Pavilion, 199 North 1st Street in the Wheeling at noon tomorrow, brought to you by the Wheeling Library. And he's going to put together a one-man show and try to get a space to play it with some consistency, and I will certainly let you know about that. I told you you'd hear Dr. King. It's his Martin Luther King Day tomorrow. Perhaps you have the day off. Well, think about Dr. King. He made a speech on April 3rd, 1968, at the Mason Temple in Memphis. It is the final speech he ever made. He was killed the next day. Here are the last few minutes of that speech.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over there. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Wow. Isn't that something? That is the final word spoken in public by Martin Luther King on April 3rd, 1968 at the Mason Temple in Memphis. The next day he was shot and killed.
It's still puts a tingle in my spine to hear those words.
Yeah, it is really amazing. He was a great speaker, but the message is still there. And I got to tell you, Chris, before we hear you play, I'll end the show with the most famous song of the Civil Rights Movement, played by you on your new CD, Oh Freedom, Songs of the Civil Rights Movement, that the stuff he's talking, he could have made, somebody could have made that speech yesterday.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the points he's making about, you know, freedom to protest, freedom to demonstrate. I mean, these are rights which are being you know, challenged and taken away from millions of people.
Well, you can see Chris at a theater near you someday very soon when he puts together this entire one-man theatrical production, which I think is not only a something to look forward to, but something that will be very important as well as entertaining. Noon tomorrow at the Wheeling Pavilion, 199 North 1st Street. a good way for you people who have Martin Luther King Day off to spend your lunch hour. You want to set up this song?
Sure. This, as you mentioned, this is the one song that everyone related to, that it was the one that stood out above all the freedom songs. And, of course, it was We Shall Overcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. Chris.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome someday.
Just beautiful, Chris Villa. Just beautiful. You can see and hear Chris tomorrow on Martin Luther King Day at noon at the Wheeling Pavilion, 199 North 1st Street. And you promise you'll let me know when you pull this together for a stage show. I think it could be tremendous. I can see in my mind some of the video. You can avail yourself.
And as you were suggesting, the images could add a tremendous
The images
level
and
to
just
it.
The stories behind each song are so powerful. Continued success, my friend. It's
Thank
always
you so much.
Great
and
to see
a
you.
Great pleasure to come up and visit.
Oh, it's great to have an hour or two.
Absolutely.
Thank you all for listening. This new format, I think, is the way to go in the future. It's going to be hour-long interviews with everybody, unless they're really weird, nuts, and crazy.